We are closing our sermon series on God's Word, the Bible, this week. We've talked about the beauty of God's Word. We've talked about how it's inspired. We talked about how it's a sword that pierces. It examines us. It endures. It guides. It transforms. And then last week, we talked about you got to do something about it. You can't just hear the Word and say, I know the Word. You got to go out and do it. That's what James said. Today, we're going to be in Romans chapter 10. Verses 14 through 17, and so I will read this for us. Let's do something different. Let's stand. How then will they call on him in him they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. God's Word, it's inspired, it's living, it endures, it transforms, it's something that we're supposed to do. But if we stop there, we miss something, right? The Word was never meant to stop with us. It's not a reservoir that just collects. It's a river that flows through us. Verse 17 says this, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. If faith comes from hearing, that means at some point we heard something. We heard the gospel message. It's saying that people will never believe unless they hear. And in order for them to hear, we have to speak. I think we all can trace our faith back to maybe someone in our life, a preacher, a parent, a friend, a stranger, someone who passed on the word of God. I remember in elementary school, they don't do this anymore, but I remember in elementary school, the Gideons would come, and they would give us like a little pocket New Testament. And I mean, it was cool, because everybody got like this cool little Bible. Maybe that was the first seed that was planted. And as a young kid, it was like, okay, cool, I got this book, what do I do with it, you know? And, the print's really small, you know, I don't know, what do I do with it? And then later on, maybe a youth pastor or someone said something that struck a chord with me, and my life was more pointed towards where Christ was leading me. But still, I was worshiping the God my parents knew, because we were just going to church. Every time the doors were open, that's what we did. And it wasn't until maybe I was 17 years old that I heard the gospel for the very first time, what Jesus really did for me, what he went through, what he suffered, the blood that was shed, everything he did, and it was personal to me. And in that moment, my life was changed. That moment. And I think we all have could kind of look at someone in our lives that have done that. But here's the problem. Many believers, they stop when they hear the word and don't pass it forward. We consume the word, we study the word, but then we stall when it comes to getting the word out. And Paul is asking the church here, how will the world believe if the church goes silent? And if you look in our culture today, the church is silent. Evil is everywhere. Turn on the news, turn on social media, turn on whatever you want. Evil is everywhere. And the church is silent. So looking at this passage that Paul is writing in this letter, I want to share a couple things. The first thing I think is faith is impossible, Paul says, without hearing the word. Verse 14, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they do it? They don't believe. Salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Simple as that. But faith requires hearing. We have to hear it. This verse is not about people having a general sense of God. You know, I know who God is. Yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a God that put things in motion, but that's all. It doesn't really mean anything else to me. No, this is more about an explicit gospel truth. That God is real. That Jesus came Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose again. And this gospel truth is being spoken and it's received by believers today. So there's this theology of evangelism. God has chosen this proclamation of the gospel as a means through which he saves sinners. Paul writes about that in 1 Corinthians. But you know what? He entrusted to us. We're the proclaimers. In the book of Acts, he tells us we are to go into the world. We are to preach the gospel. We are to baptize in his name. We are to do all these things. We are to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. It says, go and make disciples, teaching them in Matthew. Evangelism is not optional for us. It's essential to the mission of the church. That's what the church is meant to do. Romans 10 is part of Paul's teaching, and he's saying you need the gospel. And he reminds us that salvation is available to everybody, but it must be heard to be believed. He writes in verse 13, before this passage, he said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how will they call on the name of the Lord if they've never heard? They've never heard what Jesus has done for them. They've never heard how their life could be different, how they could experience power over the traps that they feel in. How will they hear if no one tells them? The word of Christ is the message that saves, and it's to be spoken. And every believer is a messenger. I grew up in the Methodist church, and one of the things that they hammered home on us, all of us are ministers. All of us. We are all called to use our gifts to enlarge the kingdom of God. Not everyone is a preacher that has a pulpit, but all of us have a platform. It could be your home, it could be your workplace, it could be your school, it could be social media. God has put people in your life that he wants you to interact with, and they need to hear the word from you. So that's the first point. We have to have it. Faith only comes if the message is spoken. Number two, God sends people to spread the word. Verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? The mission to share God's word didn't end with Paul. Okay? It continues with us. We are all sent ones. Not because we are eloquent, not because we are witnesses. He says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We are to be his witnesses. The church doesn't exist just to receive the word. The church exists to send the word. And so how are we doing on that? We're not called to be foreign missions all the time. Some are, but some are called to live as messengers, maybe a little closer to home, maybe in your family, maybe your job, maybe you're in your school, maybe your social media, maybe you're in your daily routines. Where is God using me to spread the gospel message? He's calling all of us to go into the world and to share this message. Well, what is the word that we share? Well, it begins with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. We're not called to sit down with somebody and share life tips. Now, you may do that. We're not here to go into the world to present our Christian values or what we think the Bible says. We're not sent into the world to win arguments. You know, my God's bigger than your God, you know. We are called to simply share Jesus, to be his witnesses. What has Jesus done in your life? How has he changed you? We don't preach personal opinion. We don't preach political ideology. We don't preach self-help advice. There, the libraries and the bookstores are full of books about those things. Everywhere you turn, you can find a self-help guru that will help you do something. The 5 easy plans for your life. 3 steps to make your life better. 10 things you need to know about your life. We don't preach that. We preach Jesus. We speak Jesus. We preach Christ crucified, risen, and reigning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this, Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised. And that's the message that brings us life. It's not religious rules. It's not any of that diatribe stuff. It is redeeming news. People come to faith by hearing about Christ, about his life, his death, his resurrection, and his call to repentance and grace. People don't come to Christ to hear about how good your church is, to hear about the culture or what our tribe is like. They don't care about our politics or our opinions. And the people that do come in and want to know, hey, what do you think about this? The best answer is, well, I have an opinion, but let's see what Jesus says about that. Kind of shuts down a lot of the arguments there. One thing we need to understand, and this is hard for me because it's like, man, I want to speak it, I want to sing it, and everybody's going to be changed. Nope, some will reject the message. Some are always going to reject, but our mission remains the same. Verse 16, he says, not all the Israelites accepted the good news. And Paul is honest. Not everyone is going to listen. We did a Bible study on Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah, God was telling him, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. I knit together every part. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you are going to go out and you are going to preach my word. And guess what? Nobody is going to listen to you. Like, God, what kind of mission are you sending me on? And he goes, they're going to be against you and they're going to do, but guess what? I'm going to protect you. I'm not going to let them kill you, but they're not going to listen to you. Even when the message is perfect, that Jesus was perfect and he loved us so much that he willingly went to the cross and died for us. What a perfect message. He was the perfect sacrificial lamb. And we celebrate that because there had to be a price paid for our sin. And he paid the price for the sin that we committed in the past, for the sins that we are doing now, and we are still being transformed in Christ, and he is still forgiving the sins that we are going to commit when we repent and turn back to him. Even Jesus, perfect, loving, powerful, guess what? He was rejected by many. And you will be rejected by many. But we're not responsible for results. We are responsible for obedience. And faithfulness is our responsibility. We go out and do what God told us to do. We are to go into the world. We are to be Christ witnesses to this world. And he is responsible for the growth. We plant the seeds. But the fruit is his. Ezekiel chapter 2 says this, you must speak my words whether they listen or whether they fail to listen. Do not silence, don't let silence or fear rob someone else of hearing the truth that changed your life. 2 Timothy, Paul writes to him and he says, preach the word and to be prepared in season and out of season. Just be ready to share the word of the gospel. Because, point five, sharing the word changes you too. I always use this illustration when I talk about our missions, when we go on mission trips to different countries. We think that we are bringing something that is just going to, we're going to help these people out. We're going to change some lives. And every time when we get there, as soon as the praying starts, as soon as the worship and singing starts, as soon as you see people just on their knees crying out to God, you are moved. And they are actually changing you. And so when we share the gospel message, it's about the change that not only God is putting and planting in their life, but the change he's making in your life. Margie and I used to talk to couples at another church, and we had a couples class. And one of the things that Margie taught the ladies in the group was, you want a better husband. You know, you want a better marriage, you want a better relationship, then pray for your husband every day. Don't come in talking about, yeah, my husband does this. I wish my husband does that. I, you know, And so what the guys, I had the guys, what we were talking about was fishing, and what we were talking about is like, hey, let's have a cookout or a camp out, you know? No, we were talking about dating our wives and how you are supposed to, you know, keep that fire going. Love her, the first love of your life. But that always struck me when I said, well, Margie, how'd yours go? And she said, what we did, we prayed for all of y'all. And we were like, yeah, we were going to pray for y'all. We got caught up in, you know. You want a better relationship? Pray for that person. And God changes you. This verse where he says in verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. This verse isn't about what you give. It's about who you become. As you carry the gospel, you become more Christ-like. You grow more in courage. You know, the more you do, you find it's easier to share your faith. You deepen in your faith. I mean, you start to get a hunger for his word. You develop compassion for others because you see them as Jesus sees them and not as you see them. And you mature in grace. You don't have to be perfect to share. You don't have to have the perfect word. You don't have to have a perfect track. You just have to be willing, because God makes beautiful what the world overlooks, and that's your obedience. When you share God's word, heaven rejoices, seeds are planted, souls become awake, and you may not live to see that full result, but you are part of God's mission to go into this world. So who is going to hear if you stay silent? Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. God's word is set to move. It's meant to move. How do we move God's word? Well, a couple things to think about. You can do it in everyday conversations. Use life's open doors. Mention your faith naturally. Don't force it. Don't be fake. What always scared me was, I'm not good at knocking on people's door, and when they open the door, say, hey, have you heard the word of God? If you died tonight, where you don't want to go to hell. Because some people are good at that. I'm not. All my friends, you know, I grew up Methodist, but all of my friends were Baptists. I would visit a Baptist church one time, and somehow I magically became a member of that Baptist church, and they started asking for donations. It was like, what? But they were really good. You visit one time, and like on Tuesday night, you got to knock on the door. We just want to talk to you about Jesus. Usually it was some grumpy old man. It was like, what? I'm not good at that. But what I am good at is if somebody comes up to me and says, man, I'm going through a tough situation and I just don't know what to do, I can stop and say, hey, can I pray for you? And very rarely do I have somebody say, no, just send me good vibes. Most of the time they say, yeah, I'll take whatever I can get at this point in my life because I have reached that point. We did something at the Clayton County International Park, you know, the beach. We were over there and we were set up and there was some kind of festival going on all day, and we had a three-point table and people were coming by and we were giving away Bibles and we were giving away stuff, and we had a sign. It says, how can I pray for you? And we had people stop, and we would just stop and pray for them. That's a way you can show Jesus to others. Another way is when somebody asks you a question, say, well, let's see what the Bible says about that. Or, man, I read this in the Bible today. Maybe you can help me. What do you help me interpret this. All of us have seen those things that are scripture encouragement. Like, if you're lonely, read these passages. If you're going through grief, read these passages. You can share that with somebody. I don't have all the answers, but I know where you can find some answers. Maybe just through hospitality invitation. How many times in the Bible did it said that Jesus stopped and ate with them? Jesus stopped and met with them. Even though he had this agenda over his 3-year period to get this message out, to tell us about God's kingdom, and to tell us about life, and how we could live it more abundantly, and how we were adopted as God's children, and we were part of his family now. And that's important, and he's trying to get it out, but he always stopped and made time for people. Invite somebody over for dinner. And don't invite them over and make it look like an intervention where you got like 6 or 7 people standing around with their Bibles like, okay, you know. Just hang out with them. Just hang out with them. And then while you're there, oh, hey, we're having a dinner at church on Wednesday night. We'd love for you to come. Just make it easy, something that's non-threatening to them. Invite them to your Bible study. You don't have a Bible study at home? Start one. Start one. How are they going to hear the word if we don't speak it? I'd asked Sandra to, hey, I need you to write me a skit. And she's like, okay. When do you need it? I said, this morning. She's like, you're crazy. I'm like, yeah, I am. And so anyway, I want to kind of act out the skit a little bit and just kind of picture this, because this kind of went through my mind and I didn't even think about it until she brought it up again last night. But the idea was, there's a guy sitting there at work at the table and he's reading through his Bible, and one of his workers comes in and immediately he closes his Bible. You know, and he just kind of sits there and starts drinking his coffee. And the guy comes in, what are you doing? You know, just hanging out. Blah, blah. Hey, did you hear about the blah, 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 the game? Yeah, and just talking. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah, okay. And so he leaves. And then almost the voice of God is, how do they believe if no one tells them? And then he's sitting there reading the Bible another day. And the same guy comes in, and this time he's depressed. He's like, man. And he catches the guy reading the Bible. And so a guy closes the Bible and he goes, man, you're always reading the Bible. And it seems like you're always like really well-centered and nothing really bothers you. And man, I'm going through this. Man, my wife's thinking about leaving me in this horrible life situation. And I just don't know what to do. And the guy goes, well, you know, I can, you know, put you on our prayer list. And that's it. How are they going to know about Jesus if no one tells them? And then the third time, the guy comes in, he's all excited, not because he found Jesus, but because he quit this job that he hates, and he's moving on. He goes, hey, buddy, this is my last day. I just wanted to let you know I'm out of here, all right? Have a good life. And he goes out, and the guy's sitting there holding his Bible, and he thinks about those 3 opportunities that he missed. How many times do we just let life get in our way? What can we do to be kingdom makers, kingdom builders for Jesus? And again, you don't have to wrestle somebody down to the ground and beat the devil out of them and get them saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to plant the seed, to speak to them, and to be there if they have some questions. You may not have all the answers, but we know where we can find the answers. This series meant a great deal to me, because oftentimes we look at the Bible, you know, one of the most sold books in the world. Everybody, you may have 2 or 3 different kinds of Bibles at home. Are they being used? Or are they just sitting there? Do we have a hunger to get into God's Word? Or do we start reading and our mind starts drifting? Or sometimes we say, you know what, I'm just going to read the Bible right before I go to bed. You get about 3 verses in, next thing you know, you wake up and the Bible's on your lap or something. Do we love God's Word? Because when you open this book, God will speak. You don't just read this book, it reads you. And this is the message that we have from a God that loves us so much and has a plan for our redemption and our salvation. Will you pray with me? Oh, Father, we thank you for the life-changing power of your Word. You didn't keep it hidden in heaven, but Father, you sent it through prophets and apostles and ultimately Jesus. And now, Father, even though it's crazy, you send it through us. So, Father, I pray that you would give us boldness to share it and compassion to speak it in love and faith to believe that you will use it. Father, I pray that we would be people who would not only hear the word, but to carry it to those who have never heard your word. And Father, we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen.